2:16. Alright. We got a couple of verses left on that, and then we'll give you the new one tonight. If you don't have it, it'll be start at 17. I don't think there's any more back there of the thirteen through 16. Ephesians chapter 4. Try to get line back out there last week, and we've done a little bit of review and then covered this one and a half verses, really. So we want to start back with verse 14 tonight. Ephesians 4, 14. All right. That's where we'll be starting. All right. So end in circling the wagon here. Yeah. All right. Everybody got a paper? All right. Let's pray together, then we'll read some scripture here. All right. Father, we come tonight, so we do thank you for all that you do for us. You are so merciful to us. You're faithful in every way, and you supply our needs. You give us everything, and we deserve nothing, and I understand it full well. Lord, the needs are great tonight, and the prayer list has been heavy, and through that, we have the joy of Melvin getting to see you face to face, but yet our heart breaks because of losing a friend, losing just a great guy. But Lord, I think of the testimony that's left. Help us to feed off of that, because he was always an encouragement just to see him do anything with the shape he was in. So we thank you for that. Now, Lord, help us as we look at your word. Lord, we got to be more like you. Lord, I think of the song they sung at camp, more like you, less like me. And Lord, help me to be more like you. I pray that I might decrease and you might increase. That's what your word tells us. And Lord, we just need help tonight. May you encourage everyone. May you speak to our heart. May we go from this place with the desire to be more like you in our daily walk. And Lord, I know that we can't do it by ourselves. We have to have you. And Lord, I ask for that help tonight. Cleanse my mind, my heart. Touch me fresh of the Holy Spirit. Give me power, Lord, that I might teach and preach as you want me to. And we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and amen. Let's go back to chapter 4 and let's start verse 1 again. And verses 1 through 16 is so important when we think about unity and the unity of the Spirit, unity of God, with God and the Father, God the Son, the Gospel, the Word of God, all these things that we're one. And everybody is important. Nobody is unnecessary. Everybody is necessary, and we're one body. We are a congregation of one body. Now, there's many congregations all over the world. All right, Bob and them's over in Kenya. The ones that's being saved over there in Kenya are part of the same body that we're a part of. And the ones that's being saved in Italy, the ones being saved in Burma, the ones that's being saved across town, on the other side of the United States, we're all one body, but we're just a different congregation, an assembly of people. And we have to have that. And all of these people are necessary. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, let's start at verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, but that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now we'll stop right there. Hopefully we can get to that and get in the walk. But right now we're still looking at the unity of the Spirit, the unity of the body, and the purpose, if you would, of the gifts that that God give the church. Now, there in verse 14, that's where we want to pick up. Now, if you notice, all of this is that we all come together into a perfect man. We looked at that last week. A complete man to what God has laid out for us, complete in every way. All right. Then unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He is our standard. Christ is our standard. The measure of his stature. Not my stature, but his stature. All right? So we're to grow in love until we become like him. All right? He's our example. Now, we are examples to others. We are. But it should not be our goal to be like one another. Our goal should be to be like Christ. Now, everyone is an example. We can help. Sometimes we can help more than we do. But Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So we got to follow Christ. Christ is the main thing, and we know that. All right? And but sometimes I wish I could sing like them, and I wish I could pray like them, and I wish I could preach like them, I wish I could teach like them, I wish I could do like them. Well, it's good that they had that influence on you, but we're not supposed to be the same. We're all different, all compacted, fitly compacted together, our part with Christ. And if we're like Christ, we'll be what we're supposed to be in our part. All right, we understand that. Now let's look here at verse 14. We'll start tonight. There on your, if you got that paper with 13 through 16, we're going to finish that up if we can. It says that we henceforth be no more children. Well, let's stop right there, that we be no more children. Now, we understand we're talking about maturity here, spiritual maturity. But the children, when it says be no more children, we're not to be feeble. We're not to be gullible. Because he's getting ready to talk about some false doctrine here. We're not supposed to just grab at anything. You know, a little child will grab at anything you put in front of it. But they're never satisfied with it. You hand them something else, they'll grab at it. And then you hand them something else and they'll grab at it. So, they're gullible, they're feeble, they drop the things, they can't hold on to things. So he tells us not to be feeble, not to be gullible. And then, you can convince a child that they like something or don't like something readily. They don't have no convictions of their own. We ought to, because we're getting ready to talk about false doctrine, we ought to have the convictions of the Scripture to know what this Scripture is. All right? We need to know the Bible. All right? And that should be our convictions. All right? So we say that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. All right? Shaken or disturbed, bothered, constantly changing, but never learning. All right? Somewhere we got to grasp something, hold on to it. All right? If it don't have to, we may not understand all of it. But let's get a hold of something we do and hold fast to that. So henceforth we be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. All right? We need to be careful about doctrines of men and doctrines of devils and doctrines, false doctrines. Look over in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Now we got verse 9 wrote down there, but it's something that verse 9 comes after verse 8 there when it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. So there's a standard. There's a standard. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then verse 9 says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. I believe it's in that order for a purpose. All right. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We need to be established, rooted and grounded. And that's what Paul is trying to tell the church here at Ephesus, that we don't be like children and be gullible and be thrown around believing everything that comes down the pipe. It might be a little bit of excitement or something, but that we stay true to the Word of God, that we stay true to the doctrines of Christ, because He's not going to change. All right. This Bible does not change. All right. It's good for every generation. All right. Then it goes on and says here, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. We need to understand that people, all right, it ain't just somewhere that teaching, that false doctrine is going to be spread by people, all right, and they're slick. People are slick, all right. Does not the Scripture say that even Satan's workers, his cohorts, they'll transform himself into an angel of light and would deceive the very elect if possible. Huh? Think about that. It said, by the sleight of men and cunning crafted. That's interesting. They study about it. That cunning craftiness, the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. It's their purpose to deceive. It ain't an accidental mistake. It ain't an accidental, well, I misspoke. No, it's a purposed deceit to get someone to believe wrong. Now, they're not going to tell you that, but they're backed by the devil. They're backed by the enemy to teach false doctrine for confusion, because there is not any confusion with Christ. God is not the author of confusion. Okay? Now, I'll give you an example. Years ago, in Mount Lookout, all right, you had the Baptist church there at Mount Lookout. Well, an ex-pastor worked in a post office, and he had sent out for some new literature. And it was going to offer him new light in the Scripture. And it was when the Jehovah's Witnesses were just starting. And he brought in the teaching of Jehovah's Witness, an ex-pastor of the Baptist Church, all right, and used that because of influence and the false doctrine of Charles Taz Russell and the Jehovah's Witness, used that to split the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, and all this area that has Jehovah's Witness in it is because of the Jehovah's Witness in Mount Lookout. That's where it originated in our area. Okay? And it was deceit. All right? And they split the church. In fact, they took over the church and threw the Baptist plumb out, and they had to come at night and bore the locks off and take the church back over. And and there's been a rift in Mount Lookout ever since then, because it split families, it split friends, and there's always been that division because of the false doctrine. Okay? And there's more history of that. We could tell you more and more, but that's just a good example. Now, you've got Mormons that's done the same thing. All right? They on purpose. You say, well, how do you know they've done it on purpose? You can't make your own Bible and say it from God accidentally. They purposely done it. All right, and that's what the Mormons done. Garner Ted Armstrong with the Worldwide Church of God done the same thing. All right, purposely. All right, these are doctrines that people don't realize. They even go back to Catholicism. Go all the way back, and they would say this is how it's going to be, and they made their own rules and made their own beliefs, not accidentally, but on a purpose. And these are things at Paul's, and it was even in Paul's day. If you go back and read that where he preached on at Mars Hill, and he said, "Let me make known unto you the unknown God." He said to the people always coming wanting something new. So Paul was trying his best to get the church to understand, don't be like children, gullible and taking everything, and be careful with the sleight of men teaching something contrary to what thus saith the Lord. Right. It matters what thus saith the Lord. Right. It matters. Right. All right. And we need to keep hold of that. And that's what's going on here. Let's look in Romans chapter 16. Sleight of men, deceivers, slick talkers, false teachers. That's why we must be careful when we read the scripture, that we read it correctly, that we don't leave out a word. We got an every word Bible. We need to concentrate to when we read it, and that we read it out loud, that we don't miss a word, that we don't mix it up, that we handle the word of God carefully. Romans chapter 16, let's look at verse 17. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Now, let me go ahead and tell you something. Everybody look at me now. You do not owe people the respect of their beliefs. That's not scriptural.
That's right.
For the Apostle Paul said, if any man, even an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. That's what the scripture said. So you don't owe everybody the respect of everybody. Well, I'll give you that. That's not true. That's not true. It's thus saith the Lord. Verse 18 then says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Interesting scripture, is it not? Titus chapter 1. Now people will say, well, if you're like that and don't respect others' beliefs, they're not going to respect yours. Well, it's not my word. It's God's word.
That's
they're going to have to take it up with the Lord. Look in Titus chapter 1. Verse 9 says, Paul's writing to Titus, and he says, holding fast the faithful word, as he has been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. Look at verse 10 then. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths, what's it say? Must be stopped. Who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. See, it's not except giving the respect. He said, no, their mouth needs to be stopped. It needs to be told. You know, this is wrong. You know, think about that. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, if you look at verse 1, we're talking about the last days, right? At the perilous times will come. But now look here at verse 13. It says, but evil men and seducers shall what? Wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So from Paul's day, he's saying it's going to be worse and worse and worse. And that's the way it is. And that's the way it is today. I seen something, and I've not seen one in my hands yet, but now I read where they have a Queen James Bible. Where they have a Queen James Bible. A lesbian-based LBG, all that Bible. And it's called Queen James. I thought I heard it all. Huh? Now, I've not seen one in my hand yet. I've just read about it. All right? A Queen James Bible. So we're living in perilous times, people. We're living in perilous times. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. We must be careful. We must be careful. All right? Back to Ephesians chapter 4. Everybody follow me. Right. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. All right, so don't be that. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, starts out there speaking the truth in love. All right? Now, the way to avoid wrong is to speak truth. Always speak truth. You don't have to worry about it. If a man don't lie, he always speaks the truth. He don't have to cover himself. You only have to cover yourself when you speak lie. Right? So you speak truth, simple truth. Nothing but the truth, all right? And you speak it in love, all right? Now, it's sometimes spoken in a mean, crabby, sour manner, all right? Think about this. And it don't do nothing but disgust and offend. Man, I'm guilty of this. But speaking the truth in love, all right? We ought to speak the truth. We ought to always speak the truth, but it ought to be in love, all right? Now, when we state truth to others, it ought to be with love to their souls, all right? With a sincere desire to do them good. You know, we can tell somebody they're going to go to hell, but if we're excited about it and happy about it, that's not in love. You know, we shouldn't be tickled that they're going. Right? But we do need to tell them the truth. You know, that part is true. Right? And it may be true that they're going, but let's not be happy about it. All right? Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. I know there's times that my words are sharp. And they shouldn't be. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's look here at verse 1. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. We need to be careful how we speak. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now we need to speak the truth. Now down there in the middle of the page, I have truth without love can be mean. You agree to that? Truth without love can be mean. But love without truth is compromise. All right? Love without truth is compromise. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 2 says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. See, we're talking about speaking the word in truth. Right? Speaking truth in love. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Right? That's an interesting verse. Not handling the word of God deceitfully. Not distorting the word of God. But truth. Not trying to make it mean what we want it to mean. Not out of context to prove a point. Not using it just to make us look better or the other person look worse, but handle the word of God correctly. That's what we should do. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 25, we'll get to it there later on. We're talking about now speaking the truth in love. It says, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So we need to be careful. Right? Let's go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 22. Says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren. Now we have it all there together. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So we're obeying the truth, unfeigned love of the brethren, loving one another with a pure heart. So when we go, let's go back to Ephesians 4. So when we see that, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him. And this again, this is maturing, the perfect man, the stature of Christ, growing up into the Lord. All right, complete in him. And then it goes on and says, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, and Christ is the head. And we can go back and look at that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and have put all things under his feet. He gave him to be the head over all things, just speaking of Christ, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And we know Christ is the head. I know we know that. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Speaking of Christ, again it says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. All right, so we see back in Ephesians chapter 4 that we speak the truth in love. All right, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. All right, so spiritual growth is going to require truth and love both. Spiritual growth will. And that's what Paul's trying to get the church to see. They need to grow up, stay together. We're one body. Concentrate on the Word of God. Concentrate on the purpose of God and grow up. Now, I got wrote there on the paper, and this is always a good thought. Our goal should never be to win an argument, but to win a brother. It ought not be our purpose just to win an argument. Can I tell you that a bulldog can whoop a skunk? Every time. But it ain't worth the stink. You know, it'll leave a bad smell. All right, so it ain't just winning something. That's the point of it. All right, but speak the truth. Speak the truth. Now, let's look at verse 16. Ephesians 4, 16. It says, from whom the whole body, all right, the whole body, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. All right? Now the whole body is to be joined together, knit together. All right? The source of everything is Christ, by whom? I believe that whom to be Christ, if I'm not mistaken, that's whom is Christ. He's the one who joins us together, is he not? He's the head of all things. And the whole body is to be joined together. And we can't function like we should unless we're together. Now, if you think of the whole body of Christ like our body, like your own personal body now, all right? If my whole body is not doing its part, then my body is not functioning the way it should function. Would that be right? When my body is sick, parts of my body is sick, and it can't function, all right, I got a bad heart. Well, when my heart don't work right, well, then my mind don't work right. Well, then my legs don't work right. It affects other parts of my body. So my body can't work. And it's the same way with the body of Christ. Everybody, that's why everybody's necessary. And we need to be functioning to do our part. Whatever, whether it's big or little, that's immaterial. All right? There's parts of my body that I don't even know what they are. All right? And I reckon if they quit working, I'll know it. All right? Right? But I don't know what they are. I don't know what they do. I bet there's some parts of the body that nobody knows what they do. They guess. All right? But take it out and, well, I took it out and he died. Well, I mean, it's important. All right? And that's why we are. Everybody's like that. All right? Now think about this. Every single person, now it says every joint supply. We all give something. It says that which every joint supply. Every single person in church has a role. And when we neglect our calling, then the whole community or the body is hindered. All right? When they contribute, it promotes the health and stability of everybody. All right? When one misses, the body's weak. When one fails, the body's weak because of what we give out. Because of the energy we have. Because of the strength we have. Because of the talents we have. It is necessary. That's why every week I try to encourage everybody. I put out a call on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sunday mornings to encourage you to come to church because, and I always tell you, it's important that you be there. Why is it important to be there? Because of the help it gives everybody. Everybody feeds off that. You don't have to say a thing. You don't have to sing. You don't have to pray. You don't have to do anything. But just being there will help. All right? It does. All right? Now, let's look back on 16. It says that that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. All right? Everybody is special. Everybody's got their little bit that they add. All right? We're not the same. Yeah. I talked to you Altizers, but y'all know you Altizer. Used to be pastor up at Greystone. He's been retired now. We was saved the same day, May the 27th, 1973. We was saved the same day. All right? But I didn't know you Altizer today, I got to say. You know why? Just because we got saved the same day does not mean we're the same. We got saved by the same gospel, by the same grace, by the same Jesus Christ, by the same blood. All right, we was given eternal life the same day. All right, his was on Sunday night, mine was on Sunday night. Might not have been 15 minutes apart if we get down and look at it, but nevertheless, we're not the same. All right, he's part of the body, I'm part of the body. You're part of the body. Some have been saved for 50 years. Some saved 20. Some saved 10. Some saved a day. Some day saved a day. But everybody's got their part. And it's the effectual working in the measure of every part. And what does it do? What do we all do? Maketh increase of the body. All right? Not just number wise, but it helps us to grow up. Now, it is good that if all the body is present. For numbers, that is good. But if all the body is present, we're going to mature. You're going to help me. I'm going to help you. Your part's going to help my part. My part's going to help your part. All right? And it's going to increase the body. All right? And then it says, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. All right, of itself, for the encouraging picking up of itself, of the whole body of Christ, that we all be picked up together. But it needs to be in love. There's so much said about loving one another, unity, one body, one goal, no divisions, others have needs. We need to work what we can to do to help that need. We might not be able to do anything, but maybe we can. All right? But we're going to have to change yourself. 13 times the Bible tells us to love one another. 13 times I found it, to love one another. And all that's edifying of itself in love. All right? Now, we can disagree. We can disagree in methods. All right? We can disagree with calendars. We can disagree with things like that. But if we're together, we'll not disagree with the focus or the purpose of what has to be done. All right? Everybody's got an idea of how, well, I think we ought to do it like that. Well, that don't make you wrong or me right, or me right or you wrong. We don't have to fight over that. But to know that that has to be done. If we're focused there, then we can still be together. You understand? Because we're going to love one another. All right? Let's look at some scripture now. We'll finish up this paper. Colossians chapter 2. Is everybody okay? Colossians chapter 2. Now let's think about this unity, the body. Everybody's important. What we add to it. Colossians 2:19 says, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. See, none of this can be done without the Lord. We can't live a Christian life without the Lord. We can't be together without the Lord. I can't do nothing without the Lord. Neither can you. It's hard enough me doing it with the Lord. It's hard enough for me to live right with the Lord. You know? Because of my weakness, because of my stubbornness, because of my wants. All right? But it's got to be the Lord. Let's look, while we're there, let's look at chapter 2, verse 2. Colossians 2, verse 2. This will help us if we set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. If we can keep our focus, keep our wants, keep our loves, keep what we like, on the things above. All right? Everybody with me there? Romans chapter 12. Verse 4. It says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. We know that. So we, being many, are one body, where at? In Christ. And everyone members one of another. Having then gifts, what's that next word? According to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, but I'm going to read the rest of it there. You can read it there later. But I just want you to know that our gifts differ according to the grace that is given us. What God has us to do. We're all in this together. Everybody's got their part. Everybody's got their little bit. And everybody is necessary. Everybody is necessary. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Huh? That we love one another more and more and more and more and more and more. Huh? How about chapter 1, verse 3? 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. It says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Now he's talking to an entire church, not just one individual. Remember without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. He's writing to a whole church. He's not looking at everybody. He's looking at everybody there. All right? It's important, everybody. He's talking to the church at Rome or the church of Thessalonica. He's talking to the church of Thessalonica. And that's for us tonight. Let's read one more and we'll quit here. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And look at verse 14. It says, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. We know that's one of the proofs that we're saved, is that we love the brethren. Now I know we're running just a little bit late. They're still playing outside and downstairs. I just want to look at our new paper just for a minute. You can look at them other scriptures at home. I want us to look here. We're going to start looking now on our walk with God. Now we've looked at all the unities and all the things together. Turn back to Ephesians 4. And I want you to read this. Read this every day before next Wednesday. Okay? Because this walk is important. Verse 17, I want to read that one verse. It says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. That we don't walk like the world. All right? And then read the rest of that and see. And we're going to start looking now at our conduct. The Gospels tell us how to get saved. Acts, the book of Acts will show us what happened when they got saved and the power God would give them as they started churches and seen miracles happen even in the book of Acts. But the epistles tells us how to live. It tells us how we ought to walk. It tells us how we ought to talk. It tells us how we ought to think. It tells us how to conduct ourselves with the world, how we conduct ourselves one with another, how we conduct church business, how we are to win souls, how are we to pray. all the epistles tells us how we ought to conduct ourselves as a Christian. So if anybody wants to know, how can I be a Christian? Read the epistles. Read the epistles and that'll tell us. All right? Well, we'll quit right there. We'll start up on verse 17 next week. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we sure do thank you for the night. Thank you for the scripture. And Lord, see so many places that I fail. And Lord, I pray that you would help me. Help me to do my part as a pastor, teacher, that I can encourage and lead, train. And Lord, that we might be about your business. There's so much to do. Help us to do it for your glory. And we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and amen.